Hey, Locked On Cavs listeners, Evan and I are back on this Monday, March 23rd. Coming up on today's show, our recommendations slash guidelines of what we're sort of doing while this is off. Colin Sexton talks to Chris Haynes about life outside of the NBA amid the coronavirus issues, and we'll talk about the potential of the salary cap going down upcoming this summer. That's all coming today on Locked On Cavs, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast.
You are Locked On Cavaliers. Your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Cleveland Cavaliers select Darius Garland from Vanderbilt University.
My, my, my. It's called the Kevin Love Show.
Kyrie Irving, he's gone. Xbox at him today at the Q.
On the blow block.
He put him in cement boots. Colin Sexton for two.
Come on!
Evan, how are you doing, man? Well, here we are Monday afternoon. How are you hanging out there now that, you know, we're kind of settled into a altered routine now?
For those of you who don't listen in Ohio, maybe don't keep up with the news, Mike DeWine effectively has just put a social ban on the state until April 6th, I believe, off the top of my head. So, I'm sure a lot of people are going through the same things, but like, just I'm running out of media to consume. And granted, like, I'm sure if you follow me on Twitter, I post about Animal Crossing ad nauseum. But no, like, Chris and I were kind of like pitching ideas back and forth about stuff we would recommend to you guys, because I mean, everybody else is doing it. Why not us? That maybe you can check out while you have a little bit of downtime, since, you know, traveling outside is discouraged right now, and, you know, being outside and the general public is discouraged, period. So. Yeah, no. How about you, Chris? What are you up to lately?
I've been watching a lot of Better Call Saul.
Yeah, that's a good show.
I have watched the pilot, and had watched bits of it, like where I got into like season two, or like. Into it, and then just not caught up for whatever reason. So I love Bob Odenkirk. Every time I've watched it, I've come really impressed with Rhea Seehorn. I think Michael McKean's obviously great. I think the whole show is just like a really great extension of that universe. And Breaking Bad was a great show, and I some ways I think I like this ultimately kind of better.
I was gonna ask if you thought what was better.
The caveat there is, like, whatever happens with Kim Wexler feels destined to make me very sad, because, frankly, we're in a position, she's just obviously not in Breaking Bad, so, like, I just don't know what happens to Kim, and she's obviously, like, the best human being on Better Call Saul, but I'm into season three now. I cannot think of a better show that I have decided to watch. I'm really glad that I've also watched the show You.
That's creepy but good.
It's a very popular show among NBA players, and my wife and I are in season two of that, and that show's super, super weird, and it's quite bizarre. Where are you at, Evan? What have you been doing besides Animal Crossing?
Let me touch on Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul first. I too enjoy Better Call Saul, and I'm looking forward to you like catching up with to where I'm at, where it's currently at in the show, so we can discuss it a little.
That is my hope, is that I'm able to get through this fast enough so like I can join a conversation, watch it as it's ongoing. Frankly, and like some of my favorite pop culture podcast, The Watch, spends like a decent amount of time talking about it. And I would like to catch up and be able to like hear the, and it's much, I just am much more likely to listen to their analysis of the show when I'm caught up, as opposed to like having to worry about it months down the road or something.
No, I totally get that. And so when I asked you what do you consider better than either this or Breaking Bad, like, for, I mean, are you a Game of Thrones guy, Chris, or were you? I feel like most of us are former Game of Thrones fans.
Yeah, also a book reader.
Okay, well, at least I don't think the books are ever going to be finished, because I think George R. R. Martin just
George, now's the time. Now's the time. Drop Winds of Winter. Just drop it right now. Let's go, George.
He's either doing that, or I think he's working on a video game right now with the people who developed God of War. I'm sure I'm wrong on this, but I think he has a lot more vested interests in other mediums at this point, which is a shame. But no, before the last season of Game of Thrones, and maybe like the tail end of the season before that, it was between that and Breaking Bad for me for the greatest show of all time. And after how insulting the last season was, for those of you who watch Westworld, D&D have a cameo appearance in the latest episode, and apparently it has upset a lot of fans because it was supposed to be quote-unquote fan service, but I think it was filmed years before, maybe 2 years before the final season, because they are public enemy number one for Game of Thrones fans. But just to get back on track here, no, I think Breaking Bad's still, I don't know, I have to go back and rewatch it again. Like, I watch, it's one of those shows where, like, I'll pull certain, like, moments and, like, maybe I just want to watch a certain episode or, like, watch a certain story arc within the show itself. Like, I need to watch it from beginning to end again to really have an idea, because Better Call Saul has really become legitimately one of the best shows I watch on television where I can go in and consistently enjoy it. But maybe if you need to watch something a little bit more lighthearted, I recommend Dave on FX. It stars Lil Dicky, and it's a show about his life, and every episode has really been a hit for me so far. It's just kind of like it's nice having like a refreshing laugh every now and then. And the funniest episode by so far is the milking one, and if you've watched the show, you know what I'm talking about. And the end in itself is just like the perfect mix of cringe humor and just the overall context and like situation of the show within itself. And this episode, like, it was the climax moment, and it was just so uncomfortable for everyone involved that it actually had me in tears from laughing so hard.
Are you a Lil Dicky like music fan as well?
I appreciate his work. Shout out to friend of the pod, Ty Windish, who's a bigger Lil Dicky fan. He told me straight up that Lil Dicky threw his career in a closet just to finish the show, so he hopes it's good. But that's my next topic for music recommendations, is actually rap I actually enjoy. But like Lil Dicky, like if it's on, I'm not going to be upset if I have to listen to it. But it's not like my first choice when I'm scrolling through Spotify, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, so what other recs do you have here? And could be TV, movies, whatever.
I'm going to stick with rap real quick in terms of music. I don't know if you've listened to it yet, Chris, or if anyone else has, but Donald Glover's new album, 3/15/20, dropped on Spotify over the weekend. I didn't bother streaming it on the website where he had it in like a long play format, which just I didn't have the patience to do that. But I'm sure not many of you know this, but Childish Gambino is actually my favorite artist of all time. And thinking off the top of my head, I think I've seen him in concert 6 times at this point. But the reason I'm speaking in the past tense and saying that he was is because this is the first album that Donald Glover produced under his own name instead of his stage name. And in a sense, the child's become a man, and it kind of feels like a departure from the emotionally deep and somewhat perverse lyrics that kind of got him established. And it's a lot like Awaken My Love, where it was a completely different experience based on what you're used to originally with Childish Gambino or Donald Glover. But I enjoyed it a lot, and I wouldn't say much on it. I think you should listen to it and have your own interpretations of it, but I will say I've listened to it maybe 2-3 times all the way through now, and I'm pretty sure I'm gonna be copying it on vinyl as soon as it drops.
That's cool. I love Donald Glover. I've seen him twice, I think. So not
such a talented human being.
Yeah. I remember seeing him in Cleveland not that long, or sorry, this would have been a little bit after, this would have been like Camp Era Donald Glover. Mm-hmm. And Danny Brown opened for him, and Danny Brown has a song where he references Craig Elo, and he did it in the song, and it was great. My friend Zach and I were there, and it was just laughing our asses off about that. That's a really good record. I've not listened to that yet. I need to do that in the Weeknd's album.
Yeah, the Weeknd's album's pretty good too. That was my other recommendation, but like, I'm a Gambino fanboy, so I had to spiel on it.
If you're looking for just like a song to brighten your mood, I'll just say Sugar, the Sugar remix in particular by Brockhampton with Dua Lipa, who I'm not even a Dua Lipa person. That's not really my aesthetic, but Brockhampton are great, and their whole last album Ginger, which came out last year, is just really, really great. And the Sugar remix with Dua Lipa is just like one of the things that makes me just feel most like joy when I listen to it. So I would extremely recommend that. And the Lil Baby album that came out recently is also very, very good. Anything else, Evan? Let's say books, let's say movies, any other kind of last things you've been consuming amid this?
I've been watching movies, and I Another fun fact about me, I guess we're just kind of revealing about ourselves in this segment. If money wasn't an option, I always wanted to be an animator as a kid. And I've always just like appreciated the artistic medium of animation. And I have the Ghibli collection on Blu-ray, and I'm just kind of pulling movies out and watching them, and then also just watching offshoots of that as well. But I'm going to recommend two films, actually, both set in the same era. The first is The Wind Rises, which is a fictionalized biopic about the life of Jiro Horikoshi, and he's the designer of the Mitsubishi A5M fighter aircraft and its successor, the Mitsubishi A6M0, which was used by Japan during World War II. And like every Ghibli film, the animation is breathtakingly stunning, which is a standard from that studio, and it's also captivating at times and emotionally moving. And there's one scene in particular that actually got tears out of me, but I'm not going to spoil it if you actually want to watch it. And just in that same line of thought, I recommend The Grave of the Fireflies, which if you want to have a real bummer time, which I did because I watched these movies back to back, watch Grave of the Fireflies. But like I said, it isn't as whimsical or cheery at times like The Wind Rises was, but it's still extremely powerful and a moving piece of film. It tells the story of two siblings, Seita and Setsuko, and their desperate struggle to survive during the final months of the Second World War. And I guess just like, if you really want to dig deep and raw dog those emotions, those are two movies to watch back to back, like I said. And I know it's good to laugh during times of crisis like this, but it's also good to check in with yourself emotionally. Just make sure like you're checking on what is and isn't okay. And COVID has prevented me from going to therapy, so I'm using film to kind of cope with that and figure it out on my own. So it'll be a fun talking session with my therapist once we actually get back into our routine. So
yeah, my therapist has like a Twitter account that he used to like advocate for mental health, and I've semi considered like just sliding in the DMs and being like, hey, what's up? How you doing? You hanging in there? Can we have like a DM like therapy session, which would be very weird, but he's great and I miss him. So movie wise, I will say I've been getting my wife, who's not like a huge movie person, to watch more. We watched a movie called The Spectacular Now last night, A24 movie. The cast is like really ridiculous. I'd seen this movie before, but I kind of not realize how insane the cast is until I was watching it. So Miles Teller's the lead. Shailene Woodley's the other lead. Brie Larson's in this movie. Caitlin Dever from Booksmart and Justified is in this movie. Bob Odenkirk, speaking of Better Call Saul, is in this movie for a little bit. Jennifer Jason Leigh is in this movie. Andre Royo, who played Bubbles on The Wire, is in this movie as a math teacher. It's just like kind of a teen movie. It's very straightforward. It's nothing like super profound. The director, James Ponzel, also made the end of the tour, which is the Jason Segel, Jesse Eisenberg movie about David Foster Wallace. He also made a movie called The Circle with Tom Hanks and Emma Watson and, the actress who plays Nebula in the MCU, whose name I'm forgetting, Karen Gillan. That's very bad, but this movie is actually kind of just like enjoyable kind of comfort food. I've been finding I've been going towards like comfort food kind of stuff. Stuff I know that even though it's like Better Call Saul, for example, is something that I know is not going to be the happiest thing in the world. I think a lot of the time, I think it's at least something I know that I'm going to enjoy. And I guess my last thing, just for reading purposes, I've been reading The Hot Hand by Ben Cohen, which came out not that long ago, about the data behind hot streaks. And then also just keep reading Immortal Hulk. And if you can, and your local comic shop, you're a comic reader and your local comic shop is going to do curbside pickup, try to support them. You can do that safely and without kind of breaking anything. So I'm going to be supporting Ground Zero and Strongsville. So any final recommendations here, Evan?
Just on the track of supporting your local businesses, if you can't do pickups or like, let's say you can't afford like a cachet of comic books or something, or just anything in general, buy gift cards. That helps them now, the business that you're supporting. It helps them now putting money in their accounts. And then when this all blows over and the business is still there, you can use those gift cards to buy what you want. So that's what I'm kind of going with in that regard. But I did want to give a quick shout out to one of our boys in Cavs Twitter, Ed Carroll. Ed was laid off during this whole coronavirus pandemic from his job and is looking for freelance work. And you can either hit me, myself, Chris, or Ed up. And he has clips and samples of his published work, of course, and I cannot say enough how wonderful Ed is. And if you need assistance with freelance work, do not hesitate to contact Ed. For those listening, his handle is @EdRevelator34, and No, he's a great guy and just always been super nice and super supportive of me whenever anything I write. And just sucks that someone you kind of know personally is affected by this. And Chris and I both are just hoping that he can get back on his feet as soon as he can.
Yeah, it's great. Someone hire him full time as well, give him health benefits as well. So yeah, that's kind of what you think.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and seriously, if you're in Ohio, you're elsewhere, please stay safe. This is, again, still kind of an ongoing thing, and it's not going to be ending anytime soon. So please, please just be very careful amid all this. And we're going to be right back with more Lockdown Cavs. Talk about Colin Sexton, who was on a podcast recently. And we can kind of, he's kind of the one of the first real insights we've had from an NBA player and from a Cavs player in particular, aside from like Larry Nance, who talked to The Athletic. But Colin is kind of an interesting one, I think, in this case. And we're back to talk about it right after this. Okay, we are back here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Evan and I are here, as always, back talking you through everything that's going on right now. Evan, Colin Sexton spoke on the Post It Up podcast hosted by Yahoo's Chris Haynes. Also used to cover the Cavs early on in the second LeBron era for Cleveland.com. And there's a lot. He said a lot. You know, there's stuff about John Beilein in there. There was stuff about JB Bickerstaff in there. I actually thought the quote he gave about Bickerstaff in relation to Beilein, we're not going to talk about, but I thought was just truly insightful. So please go listen to that. I don't want to steal this being all stolen in any way. But Evan, here's the big quote for me. This is what he said about the NBA season ending before any other games have been played. Quote, "I would hate it. I would hate it. We have 17 games left and we are just trying to understand each other. We just got a new coach, so we're trying to understand him. We've got 17 games and we are just trying to finish on a good note. We weren't in contention for the playoffs or whatnot, but as long as we finish on a good note and let this roll over to next season, that's all we was looking forward to." The thing that Colin also said in that was, that was in the question I should say that Haynes asked him was basically like, you guys were not in the playoff picture. We want you guys, would it matter to you if the season ended today? And that is how Colin responded. That is a very on brand for Colin, but I think I would be, I don't know this, but I'd be curious to see how that applies to the other players in the league.
I'm not necessarily surprised, but I think Colin just kind of, you know, is saying a lot of what we're saying in general, just, clearly, the Cavs weren't competing for the playoffs when JB Bickerstaff was hired, but there was a noticeable and tangible difference in terms of how the team was playing and responding underneath him. And this definitely just kind of throws a wrench in everything and just slows down the process in general, where based on what you and I have heard, and I'm sure others have heard as well, there's in all likelihood a good chance that the NBA season is done for teams that aren't in the playoffs at this point, and that the NBA will resume the season maybe with a couple regular season games, so I could be wrong in that regard, but just as a warm-up, but they're going to head as fast as possible to the playoffs and an eventual NBA Finals. But this hurts teams like the Cavs, who not fired, but John Beilein resigned from the position, and JB Bickerstaff was kind of thrown into it right at the All-Star break, and he only was starting to get his feet wet, and you're starting to see maybe a little bit of an established identity. And like Colin said, that's something you can build momentum with and head towards training camp next year, where he'll be here, Darius will be here, Kevin Porter will be here, Larry Nance will be here, Dylan Windler will be back and hopefully available. But those are all like key guys in this quote-unquote rebuild or renaissance, if you still want to give John Beilein his kudos in that regard. But I don't know. It's just, it's definitely frustrating, and it would kill me in terms of, as someone who is both a fan of this team and who covers them as well, would just frustrate me in the fact that it's probably going to have detrimental effects to the development of especially young players on Cleveland's roster, and just overall just establishing a comfort level and a rapport with JB Bickerstaff and just what he's doing, because by all accounts, he's the Cavs coach going forward. And I don't know, it's just kind of like frustrating and a little disappointing that maybe that's the case. And it's definitely going to probably hurt the Cavs long term if that is what does end up happening.
Yeah, I think the other thing that's really to note about this, and I think Colin spoke to this well, was that basically, like, it's going to be really hard for training to happen in this regard. So Colin, basically, he flew back to Atlanta, which was, I think, okay under NBA, obviously okay under NBA protocols. He said he was quarantined for 4 or 5 days after they played the Jazz and after this sort of kind of outbreak kind of happened. And then he's back in Atlanta where he's from. He's living in his house there. He says, though, he does not have access to like a regular basketball court right now. That the suspension of the workout time for teams, I think, is part of the reason why guys left Cleveland if they're not from here. I get it. Although I hope Kevin Love didn't go back to New York. I don't know that, but I really hope he didn't. That would be bad.
Staying safe,
Kevin. Come on the pod. But Colin said that he, to stay in shape, he's lifting weights, he's running, he's using an exercise bike. I would be shocked if Colin Sexton is one of those guys that comes back when the season, let's say the season comes back in June and it's a shortened season, Cavs get to play 5 games, or there's like a 30 team playoff and they get 5 games, then they're like the 28th seed in the playoffs and are playing like whoever the third best team in the league is or something like that. I don't know if that's the case, but let's just say that is. If there's anyone on the Cavs I am not worried about being in shape and being ready to go, it's Colin Sexton. I also just don't know like what the rest of the, like what everyone else is doing right now. We just don't know. That's for the Cavs to worry about. That's not for us to worry about. But I think when you think about the practical bit of this, I thought that more so than him saying he would be bummed if the season did not come back. I thought it was very, I just thought that was the most insightful thing he said.
Yeah, no, it is. And it's definitely going to be tough. And it's funny you say, like, out of all the players on the Cavs roster, who are you worried about the most about not showing up in shape and ready to go if how long this layoff actually ends up being, if the Cavs play like 5 games, or hell, even they wrap up the season, just call it at that point, and then Cleveland just gets ready for next year. Like, yeah, no, Colin's the last player I'd be worried about. He's going to probably stay in tremendous shape somewhere or another, I'm sure. Again, I keep bringing this up, but like no one really knows what Colin does in his spare time. I'm sure he's going to find somehow some way to get access to a basketball court to like just keep shooting, because he just likes playing hoops and he likes being in that environment. And if you take that away from someone like Colin, if you take that away from him, that's pretty much like a death sentence in just terms of boredom and not really having much to do. But I don't know. I'm not really worried about him, but I just do worry overall about the overall development of this team, because there were a few key players on Cleveland's roster that were hurt. I mean, Dylan Windler being one of them, Darius Garland being another one of them. We'll touch on this more in the next segment, but I mean, I don't know what Andre Drummond and Kevin Love are doing right now, but those are both two key pieces going forward into the summer for the Cavs. Like, we don't know what's going to happen with them and like what they're up to and what they're doing to stay in shape. Actually, no, you know what? I think Kevin's going to stay in shape because he's pretty public about how he had a hot boy summer and he went from like kind of chubby into a supermodel. So I think he'll be okay in that regard. But I don't know. It's just a shame. And I think just kind of frustrating. Like you said, like maybe I was surprised honestly that Colin went on a podcast, because he is a man of very few words in terms of just players on Cleveland's roster. Him and Darius Garland are probably tied for who likes talking to the media least. So it was nice to have a little bit of insight to see like what's going on like behind the scenes. And especially because sometimes people do forget like athletes are people too. And like this is having an obvious impact on their life and well-being and just what they can and can't do. And I mean, being a multimillionaire, you're enabled to do a lot of things at once and have that all taken away. Like it's tough, but like Colin, no, it was definitely an insightful podcast, and if you guys haven't listened to it yet, I'd definitely say check it out and just give it a listen. But Colin doesn't talk much, but when he does, it does provide some insight on just what's going on with him and maybe like what you expect going forward with him as well.
Yeah, the other guys that I would I would wonder about more than anyone else right now is just how they're doing. I think about Jetty Osman, I think about Ante Zizic, and I think about, you know, Dante Exum as well, mm-hmm. and Drummond too. But I think about the guys that are like not from the U.S. that are separated from their families right now. And I think that would be a particularly weird thing to consider. You know, I haven't like looked up to see like what the situation is in Turkey, but I'm sure like Jetty would like to know what's going on with his family, you know, or like I'm sure he does, but it's just like,
I'm sure that he's in communication with them, but he physically cannot see
physically that. Like would not be able to, if he left the country, he would not be able to go back.
No, I don't think he'd be allowed to leave the country, period, though. I don't know.
You can, like, leave, but, like, you can leave, I think, the way it works. But, it's like, if let's say you leave, you are barred from coming back for, like, a TBD period of time. And Jetty's not, I don't think Jetty's not a citizen. He's working on a work visa. So, that's kind of how, that would be a really, not bizarre, but just, like, this is, like, sort of just the little, yes,
it's a good way to do it. Just because this is out of Jetty's control, and if he wanted to go home and be with his family naturally during a crisis like this, to be not allowed to come back into the country where he's employed and makes his life's work, like, that's just unfortunate, and it just kind of sucks. Thankfully, like, with modern technology, he's able to stay in constant contact with them, but I can't even imagine how nerve-wracking it is for some of the international players on Cleveland's roster, just because, I mean, Dellavedova and Exum, Australia, like, this pandemic's bad no matter where you look at it. So, yeah, no, just internationally, like, I can't even imagine how crazy it is just not to be able to physically be with your family in a time like this, because there is something therapeutic in the fact that you can be around people that you love most during times of crisis.
Yeah, I think that's right. Any final thoughts here, Evan? And is there any player you'd like to hear from more than anybody else? Just to give me a name.
Darius, no. Yeah, maybe Darius. Let's have a rookie roundtable between Dylan, Kevin, and Darius. I know their Fortnite sessions are pretty much the closest you're going to get to it, but they get tired of answering basketball questions for a while. But I kind of want to know what it's like to be 19, 20. Dylan's an older rookie in his mid-20s, but in that age bracket where, like, this is your first, like, adult job in your life, and it's just come to a screeching halt, like, a couple months in. Like, I'm fascinated to see, like, what do you do at this point? Like, I have an idea. They probably just sit at home and play video games all day. Like, more power to you guys. But that's who I'm interested by. What about you?
That's a good answer. I think Kevin's been pretty out there. Nancy, yeah. Not though, but I think Tristan would be really interesting. Just because, like, just the idea that, like, his legacy with the Cavs, like, he could have, in theory, and I hope this isn't the case, but David Zabok brought this up the other day. I hope that we haven't seen David or Tristan's last game, but it seems like that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that's not the case.
Same here.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, come back, talk a bit about the salary cap and what could be coming there. That's coming up on this episode of Lockdown Cavs from myself, from Evan. Great. All right, we are back here on Locked on Cavs. Evan, last segment. Ben Golliver, friend of the Locked on Network as a whole, wrote a story in the Washington Post that came out on Monday. It's not the biggest sports story in the world today, obviously, with free agency stuff still happening in the NFL, with the Olympics being canceled for this year, all the other stuff. But the coronavirus is going to cost the NBA some money. It's going to could cost the NBA like $1 billion. And I think notably for our point of view, because I, you know, whatever, revenue, I'm not going to, like, worry about TV ratings or revenue. That's just not my bag.
Uh-huh.
The salary cap in the NBA is likely going to change. The salary cap could go down, according to Ben, between $8 and $15 million. If it goes down $8 million, that would take the Cavs to about, so let's just say, so I actually had enough to, I'll have to check with our friend Jeff Siegel on what his, if his estimates are included with the, if the estimates he has now are coronavirus adjusted. But if you go to Early Bird Rich, you can kind of check this out. The Cavs will have theoretically, they're not really going to have cap space this summer unless something's just sort of a certain way. Like, they have cap holes they can punt and then get closer to spending money and save some money. They're not going to be a team that I think is in danger of the tax. Mm-hmm. But if you look at things that the two fallouts to me from that would happen is, number one, Andre Drummond is slated to make $28.7 million next year. If the cap is, which is already not a big summer for spending, if the cap shrinks by any amount, it is more and more likely to me that he opts in. I knew it. I already sort of believe that's going to happen. Secondly, Kevin Love seems harder to me to trade at $31 million for next season. Assuming that continues to happen, let's say it drops $8 million, it just seems to me harder to me that if the reasoning really was, we don't want to pay him all that money for a couple more seasons. That seems like it's even harder to pull off if and when that cap does go down.
No, it does for sure. It's a little frustrating because it is definitely something you have to consider, the fact that I wrote a story for Forbes about this last week, and based on secondary market sales alone, the NBA could lose for the regular season $690 million in ticket revenue across all 30 teams, which is absolutely absurd. I mean, granted, the Cavs would lose $8 million, and the NBA extended a line of credit or bolstered their line of credit within all 30 organizations just to kind of like soften the blow a little bit to be able to finance other things as well, just in the event that they don't lose so much ticket money. But no, if the NBA cap were to drop, I don't think Kevin Love is going to get moved, because let's just put it this way, he's making $31.3 million next year. He will be in his mid-30s. He is still an injury-prone player. He still has concerns defensively, and like you and I have heard and have spoken with on here and across all mediums of however we dissect the Cavs, his blow-ups this year definitely didn't help his draft stock, and like him being like a team player and like publicly saying all the right things. Like, I heard from scouts and some executives, like, yeah, he's saying the right stuff, and like it makes it easier to sell an owner on trading for him. But it doesn't matter if the salary cap is reduced because of this pandemic, and that just kind of straps Cleveland financially. And I think at that point, like, you're gonna see roughly the same Cavs roster: Sans, Tristan Thompson, Ante Zizek, maybe Dellavedova on a team-friendly, like, veteran minimum deal, but, like, you're going to see largely the same Cavs team next year and probably just see similar results with an added rookie as well, and then Dylan Windler as well, because he didn't play this year. But the Cavs weren't going to be major players in free agency. I think trading for Andre Drummond removed them from that contest in all regards. As you and I both heard, like, he is planning on taking that $28.7 million player option because he's not going to make that much in the free agent market, no matter what the salary cap is at. So it's just frustrating overall, because you feel like Cleveland is kind of knocking on the door of saying, like, all right, we're finally tearing down like the last major piece in Kevin Love, this championship team. We're going to flip him for some whatever assets we can get. Hopefully it's draft picks included. But with how teams protect first round picks already, like with a reduced salary cap, like those things are going to be worth their weight in gold at that point. And I don't think Cleveland can afford or swing a trade to help establish a rebuild and kind of expedite the process a little bit by adding young talent to the draft. And there's a lot of wormholes and just different directions this can go down. And it just doesn't get pretty after a while. And it's just kind of frustrating overall that this is probably a very realistic situation, and it probably will end up happening.
Update on Kevin Love. He is, in fact, in Cleveland, according to his Instagram. I looked this up. I forgot that we have social media. Today is leg day for Kevin Love, and I got interrupted by his dog.
It's a cute dog. It's National Dog Day, so if you have a pooch, give him a pet.
Yeah, my wife and I actually did have a conversation at this point, like, that lasted about half a day about adopting a dog right now. So that's where we're at on the quarantine. Evan, if you look at one of these two things, and just so this is also clear, Kevin Love and Andre Drummond would be the two highest paid players on the Cavs next season, were they to both be on the roster, okay?
Oh, yeah.
If you were to say one of these two things breaks in the opposite way, this is obviously, I think, largely speculation. I think probably 99% speculation, because there's so much unknowns right now. But when you think about it, if one of these two guys were to go the other way, and like the situation breaks in a way we don't expect, whether it's Love getting traded, Drummond opting out, what do you think? Which one do you think would be more likely?
If money wasn't an option, Kevin Love getting traded is the more likely of the two, because I think Cleveland really wants to see what they have with Drummond, and this whole pandemic just kind of, you know, threw a wrench in that regard as well. So I think Cleveland's going to have Andre Drummond on the roster and start trading camp next year, at least the first half of the season, and they move him at the deadline at that point, because he's, again, $28.7 million expiring at that point. But no, if that was all options around the table and like everything was okay, like, no, Kevin Love gets traded 10 times out of 10. They keep Andre Drummond and see what they have with him, because he's still 26 years old.
still marketable types to watch, but marketable, yeah.
So here are the teams just to run. I agree with you because here's the teams with cap space. Atlanta that theoretically could spend money on Love. I'm sorry, on Drummond. Or, you know, maybe trade for Kevin Love if they wanted to just
absorb him. Hell on the books.
Well, so that's the thing. So Atlanta is at $49 million for next summer. They have Capella. I think he like just signed like a 5-year contract.
Yeah, so I think that rules Atlanta out.
No, this is what I'm getting to. So Atlanta has cap space. Oh, okay. They don't. There's like six teams that have cap space, and like only a few of them have money to pay Drummond. So Atlanta, even though they have cap space, is out. Charlotte, I don't know if like I can't speak if Drummond would consider. You know what their plans are, like if Drummond would consider like Charlotte an upgrade, but you know they'll have $25 million in space. The Pistons, who obviously just traded Drummond, have almost $32 million in space. That's not an option. Memphis has $16 million in space. That is an option just for a variety of reasons. The Heat have $37 million in cap space. They have Bam. They don't need Andre Drummond at all. If you look at the Knicks, they have $44 million. Who knows? The Knicks could be wilding and like. Could be like we want Andre Drummond, and you know maybe they throw him a lot. They signaled him they want to throw him a lot of money. Okay, and then Phoenix will have $13 million.
Sign and trade for Mitch Robinson for Andre Drummond. I'll help them. I'll help. I would personally take the call and say like, you know what, if you really want
Kobe, I got this. Just continue your vacation.
I'll Gansey you in this situation. You just take it, buddy. I'm gonna go get us.
Yeah. You want to give us Frankie Smokes too? That's fine.
Why not?
But. Why not? You know, what's the harm? But that's and then Phoenix at 13 and about $14 million. That is the entire market.
Nope.
Next summer.
There isn't one.
I don't think either of these guys are going to. I think both of them are on the roster next year. I feel unless like just something bizarre happens, I think that's clearly just where we're headed here.
I can see Love to Phoenix, and I know we're still holding out hope that maybe that happens, but no. And we joked about Andre Drummond going to Charlotte, and that feels like a lateral move in itself, going from Cleveland to Charlotte, just in terms of where both franchises are at, because Charlotte has some nice young pieces, but they're just not really. I mean, I like their coaching staff, and I like what they're kind of do, but they're trying to do, but I think Terry Rozier was such a bad idea, and then I don't know, maybe they kind of figured it out, but like I was going to compare it to Roy Hibbert being traded to the Hornets. Then I had like a moment because I found out that Roy Hibbert is actually a player development coach for the Sixers, which is my fun fact of the day because, you know, that's just one of those guys. Like, what's he up to these days after he got cucked by Paul George? So, that's just my interesting tip. So anyways, if Andre Drummond got traded to Charlotte, it'd be kind of just like watching Roy Hibbert in a Hornets uniform. So, and then maybe Drummond retires and becomes a player development coach for the Sixers as well. And it just, it's the, time is a flat circle, crushing the can. But yeah, no, if the salary cap gets reduced, it pretty much eliminates any chance of any of these players being moved this summer. And I think largely Cleveland will have the same core plus a draft pick going into next season. And we'll just kind of be in the same position where we're at, having the same conversation likely about a year from now. Just like, what do we think is going to happen next? But I think neither of them are really, yeah, like you said, are just aren't going to be moved if the cap's reduced. And, like, you could make a case for Kevin Love if a team is desperate enough, and, like, Phoenix makes a lot of sense on paper, but Miami, definitely not, because they're probably going to try and retain cap space to be in that Giannis sweepstakes no matter what. And then Charlotte, like, Kevin Love, and, I mean, Drummond, I guess, makes sense, because Charlotte's a weird team. Like, they're weirdly run because Michael Jordan has his thumbs on that team overall. So maybe them. Like, the Knicks, I think they'd be stupid enough to trade for either of those. But at the same time, like, new management, maybe, like, you have to give them the benefit of the doubt at this point. But I don't know.
No, I don't. Don't tell me what to do.
It's the Browns of the NBA. So, like, every year you tell me to give the Browns benefit of the doubt, but they'll find a way to mess it up for me.
Yes. I'll just say the only thing I think that could throw a loop into this is if you look at Giannis, and if Giannis says I'm going back to Milwaukee, like he signs a Supermax, and that could spur other moves where teams are going to be less concerned about hoarding cap space. Now, 2021 is still a very good free agency class, but is it we want to hoard our money? Like, do we want to hoard our money just for that, or do we like Andre Drummond? Do we like Kevin Love for this year. Like that's where I think could change things, but we don't really know. Evan, any final thoughts as we get out of here?
Everyone stay safe. You know, just keep indoors and listen to Chris and I's recommendations on the top. Maybe check some of those out. But it's been a bummer without the Cavs. And shout out to Fox Sports Ohio for replaying old games and everything. But it's just not the same, man. Like, even though we did joke, you did joke about, like, do I miss Andre Drummond taking threes? Like, it took me a split second of him taking another one against Miami to realize, no, that I don't miss that. But in a sense, I somewhat do, because I do wish we could cover this weird and wacky team and just talk about stuff, but I'm having fun just kind of talking about whatever, just speculating what the future holds. So I just appreciate you guys staying with us. So what about you?
Yeah. Chris? We have a bunch of stuff coming up. I think we're really excited about it. If you saw our tweet about Twitch, that's going to be happening.
Oh, yes.
And if you have any Cavs games you would like us to rewatch, let us know at Lockdown Cavs on Twitter, lockdowncavs@gmail.com. We have some in the pipeline. Some people are going to get on to have to do that. We're going to have some guests coming up, but it's all going to be fun. Check out the streaming options. Again, stay safe. Thanks for listening. And we'll be back in your podcast feeds very, very shortly. Cheers.